Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you've given to me to give. And I just ask, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would make every word come out that is intended of you, and not any word that is not intended of you. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you're going to teach us tonight and show us and remind us of. May you be blessed in these things and as we do them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 11. Well, we've seen that Peter had visited Cornelius, had had this vision from heaven. Cornelius had seen an angel from heaven, told Peter to come. Peter came. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out upon Gentiles. Call it the Gentile Pentecost. Because Pentecost was Jews, and now Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit themselves. So in chapter 11, let's start reading verse 1. Now the angels and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa, and call for Peter, whose surname is Peter,' or call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." We'll stop there. So I was preparing this, and the Lord was preparing me with this, I was realizing how very much this ties into our present day and how our days seem to be coming more divided among men. I was looking back at a word that had struck me that Robin had mentioned, and it was in regard to Peter, that he should not discriminate, was the word that was used by Robin in teaching this. And as I was looking through this, I realized that this is Peter who has now set aside his prejudices, and he's going to Jerusalem to deal with people who have prejudices. And this gives us a bit of a model on how to do that, on how to speak to those who are still caught up in biases, whatever they may be. In this particular case, this is a bias that is based upon religion, also based upon nationality. To some degree, the Bible had listed people either as Jews or Gentiles. Jews or everybody else. And so as we go through here, let's see what the Lord has to say to us on this topic. I feel particularly blessed with the background that the Lord gave me. I am part Indian, American Indian. My grandfather's mother was half American Indian, Cherokee, and that passed down through his line a much better understanding and acceptance of other people than a lot of the people that I have otherwise grown up with. When I was young myself, my best friend was black. So it was something within my family that we kind of gravitated to the people who love the Lord, and those people are everyone. And as we go through this, we'll kind of get into some of the things that are stumbling blocks for some people and how to get past stumbling blocks, because they shouldn't exist. And we'll get into why they really have no place at all. It says now, verse 1, as we're going verse by verse, now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. This would have been to them shocking. Shouldn't be if they had read their Bible well, but they were thinking of things from a very limited viewpoint, without taking in the whole context of God's word. So when Peter came to Jerusalem, verse 2, those of the circumcision, these are Christian Jews, contended with him, saying, you went in with uncircumcised men and ate with them. That was something their culture did not do. They considered all Gentiles to be unclean. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. This is the first thing that the Lord's given us to learn from. When confronted with this kind of a situation, be patient. Don't let anger burn up. Peter could have been angry. He could have said, well, this is what the Lord said, and the Lord, you know, he could have, but he didn't. Instead, he was loving. He was patient and diligent to explain to them in exact order so that they'd understand and be able to accept it. Ultimately, when we get to the end here, you either accept God's word and that ends argument, or if you don't accept God's word, you will still have that point in which you are forced to your knees to accept who he is before you have your final verdict. So, Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying. That's a good place to be starting, first of all. You remember when Jesus had come down from the mountain, the disciples were there, and there was a man whose child was demon-possessed, and they couldn't cast it out. And he said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And I remember the first time that I read that, I thought, well, it's almost as if the Lord assumes that they should have known that. And how could they have known that? Well, if they had been in the regular practice of being in prayer, fellowship with God, then they would have known and they would have been ready. And that's how we can be ready at all times. The Lord says be ready in season and out of season. So we don't know when that moment will come. But we're to be ready. We get ready by praying, staying close with God. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object descended like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. Now, this is repeated earlier in chapter 10, so anytime the Lord repeats something, It's special emphasis, like when he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you. We'll see that the list has a great deal of importance to God, so it should have a great deal of importance to us. It descended by four corners. It came to me, and verse 6, when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, both clean and unclean animals. A representation, if you will, of both Jews and Gentiles together, which shouldn't be. Because if they were together, then the clean would be considered unclean. So that's why the list is common. He observed intently, considered, he saw the four-footed animals, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord. He's Jewish. He has that background. He says, this isn't what I ought to be doing. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times. Three certainly going to ring with Peter, with the denying the Lord three times, with the Lord asking him if he loved him three times. So seeing this three times should have an effect on him. It does. And all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. And that's a key right there. How often do we enter some situation doubting something? James says, as far as the person who's praying, pray believing. Do not doubt. For the one who doubts or is double-minded is like the sea that just waves back and forth. Don't be like that. Be confident in prayer. Be confident in the Lord. Don't doubt. See what he will do. The Spirit spoke to Peter. That's something we should not miss. There are times when the Spirit speaks to us and lets us know what to do, even a direction to go. The reason I'm in Dothan, Alabama today is because the Spirit told me to come here. I had at one point decided to leave California, where I lived and loved being there for 38 years. But it was time to go, and the Lord had put that on my heart to do that. I looked at the places that I wanted to go, drove to Provo, Utah, in anticipating that I would probably live there. I was in a motel room. My parents, who had taken the trip with me, were out. I lay down on my face, prayed, heard nothing. Got in the shower. As I was showering, thinking about what to do, the Lord asked me a question. What is important? And I thought of my family and my brother. And that was my answer. And so I came here where my brother was, to Dothan, Alabama, and have been so blessed since I listened and obeyed the Lord's command. How do we hear the Holy Spirit? First thing is we have to stop and listen and try. Listen to what the Lord's telling us in our circumstance. Not, Lord, take me out of this circumstance and then I'll listen. Peter's in this situation and listening. He's faced with something that's totally new. But the Spirit says, don't doubt. Go. Doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. I'll stop there for just a second. To verify anything, you need two witnesses in Jewish law. The Lord tripled that for this. This is an important occasion. Again, that three coming through. Again, as we see so often in the New Testament especially, but in the Old Testament as well. Three times the number of witnesses that were needed. The Lord wants to be absolutely sure, and if you want to add to that Peter, that would be your number of completeness of seven. This message is to be as authoritative as it can be. These six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. The mission is preaching. And as I began to speak, that tells you right away the preparedness of the hearts of Cornelius and his family and friends gathered. As he began to speak, they received immediately. The Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. As I said earlier, this is the Gentile Pentecost, because it's accompanied with the same signs, the speaking in tongues, as at that first Pentecost. Does that happen every time? No. But it happens here so that the Lord would give the full authority and weight, the power of His Holy Spirit demonstrated, so that there would be no doubts. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how He said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If, therefore, God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? He's quoting Jesus here. John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember, John the Baptist, Mark 1:8, had said, the one who is coming after me will, I baptize you with water, the one who is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Joel, we know about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Peter mentions that at the beginning of Acts, how it's a fulfillment of that time, and it's a continued fulfillment of that here for the Gentiles as well. If, therefore, God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Let's see what he's saying here. God's giving them Himself. The Holy Spirit is God. If God is giving them Himself by their believing in Christ, who will indwell them also, then they have become the body of Christ. If they are the body of Christ as we are, Gentiles today, then we are clean, because we are in His body. There is no dirt, no filth, no anything in Christ. And the dirt that would be there from our past natures is sin, and nothing else. It's not who we are, where we were born, what our background is, what our culture is, what ethnic group we come from, what racial group we come from. Those things are all made by God. Adam, we trace all, every person in the world traces their lineage back to Adam. There was a recent scientific study done well for once. It said that every single person in the world dates back to the same woman. Well, that would be Eve. Or if you go a little further forward, Noah and his wife. If we have so much in common, why do we then try to draw distinctions? Why do we try to go in a place that the Lord never intended? Adam was created in God's image. Whenever we see any person, anywhere, they were created in God's image. We ought to treat them with that level of respect that deserves. With love. That's part of loving our neighbor. Jesus used the loving your neighbor to explain one who was completely cast out by the Jews, a Samaritan, who took a person who he knew considered their group unclean. and yet he cared for that person, put them up in an inn, paid for their healing and recovery. Our hearts need to be tender, very tender. The Jews, their purpose in being set apart was that they were given something wonderful. They were given God's word to be given out. In Isaiah 49:6, the Lord tells them there to be a light unto the Gentiles. Now, it's often remarked that they weren't. But one thing we do need to remember is that Peter and every other disciple was a Jew. And through Peter starts that light to the Gentiles. Later to be picked up by Paul, who's referred to as the apostle to the Gentiles. Anyone who is in Christ, no matter what they look like, no matter what their background, they're in Christ. What sort of things does the Lord give us as distinctions for marriage? Does he say you must do this within your certain group of this? No. He says that you're to be equally yoked together with believer. That's it. God has made us all unique and wonderful. His word shows that. Now, when we're dealing with those who do not know that, the first thing that we have to do is to patiently explain it. And this is an excellent place to come back to as a starting point. To realize that there were two groups divided in the Bible, Jews and Gentiles, those who were of the tribe of Jacob through Abraham, and those that weren't. Those that the Lord called apart, he called them apart because they listened. They came. Abraham believed and it was accounted to him righteousness. And the Lord has opened up to the entire world. Go to the ends of the earth. There weren't Jews all over the ends of the earth. But there were people. And the Lord wants to seek out everyone. He will go to the greatest distance to find the one lost sheep. He did for me. We're a long ways from Jerusalem. And there are a lot of people who have been reached by God's word. Now we get the opportunity to talk to everyone, to break down prejudices that people have. They shouldn't exist. They don't belong there. If Adam was made in the image of God, and we are being conformed to the image of Christ, the Lord is just restoring us by our heart being restored to what is right. The Jews had a hard time with this. There was one in particular who had a very hard time with this. His name was Jonah. He remembered that his people had been treated barbarically by the Assyrians, the Ninevites. How barbaric is they would actually took large fish hooks and hook it through their jaw and put them in a chain of people and drag them along to Assyria. They weren't nice. But the Lord points out to Jonah, there are over 200,000 people in that city who don't know their left hand from their right, meaning little children. Should he be mad at them? Does he have any right to be angry? And whenever you see racism, discrimination, whether it's discrimination, men against women, women against men, race by race, whatever it is, what does it always have to it? Usually two key components, ignorance and anger. The anger doesn't belong, like in Jonah's case. It didn't belong. He had no right to be angry at children. He had no right to say, the Lord will probably save them, so I don't want to talk to them. That was a wrong heart, a wrong motive. You needed to be willing. Not pressed to the end, but willing. And then accept the Lord. Accept what he had to say. And have it change his own heart. It's very easy to become hard-hearted. All it takes is doing what you want to do. But when our hearts are more open, we see that Jesus cares about every single soul on this planet. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son for every single person in this world. What's the defining point? Are you a Jew, Gentile? No. Whoever believes. Remember, Jesus gave the parable. He said the king sent out his servants asking those who were invited to come to his feast. And each one gave an excuse as to why they wouldn't come. He was then filled with wrath that they refused his summons. So he said, go into the streets, go into the byways, go into the markets, call anyone who will come. And they came. It says both the good and the bad. I don't know what your heart is like, but I was the bad. And he called me anyway. And he calls you out of it into new life. Jesus said, behold, I have made all things new. Let's give a little Greek grammar. In Greek, all means all, and that's all ever means. If he makes all things new, he makes our heart new. The Bible says that our heart is incurably wicked. Desperately wicked, but it means incurably. It can't be cured. You have to have a new heart. Like in Ezekiel, where the Lord says, I will take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. It will soften you. The key is if you're willing. If you're willing, he'll do the work. If you have hardness of heart about a group of people, for whatever reason, the Lord can give you a soft heart about them. A love for them that is beyond your ability to know until you experience it. Peter patiently, meticulously explained to them that these Gentiles are now in Christ. And if they have an issue, they have to take it up with Christ. If therefore God gave them the same gift, verse 17, as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? It makes me reminded of Gamaliel. You know, let these men go. If it turns out that the God is with them, then you'll be fighting against God. Well, Peter sees himself in that same position. He's not going to withstand God. He's going to obey. And the Lord, through his Spirit, remember, brought back these words of Jesus to him. John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Given a new heart, given a new soul, awakened in your spirit to life. When they heard these things, this is a reaction, they became silent. It does sort of close the mouth. When it's done in love, when it's done in anger, when it's done in reproach, not so. But when it's done patiently and lovingly, close their mouth. And then they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. And there's that acceptance and turning. Whenever we deal with those that want to discriminate in one way or another, deal with them patiently, lovingly, remembering that God loves them too and doesn't want them to stay the same way, because there's no room for it. We have one God, And if we are in him, we are one with him. And there is no division. Remember what Paul had said. He was distressed. He said, some of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. And he said, is Christ divided? No. We are of Christ. We are of the day. We are of the light and we are the salt. Every day, let us season our world and bring light into it. It's needed in this area. There are still real problems that this addresses right here in this area. They're hidden a little more deeply in some places than others, but they need to be driven out permanently. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how you love us so tenderly. How your Spirit has been poured upon us. Thank you, Lord, for regenerating us, for renewing our mind, transforming it completely. Thank you for conforming us to the image of Christ. And please continue that work every day. Help us, Lord, to be a bright light in a dark place. In Jesus' name, amen.